Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord. It's not a time to clap. It's a time to stay sensitive. Stay focused. Stay connected. Man was designed with an investment of divine intelligence. And so the complexity of this being called man sometimes puts him in a tight condition when he wants to have expression. There is an eternal dimension of you, an immortal aspect of you, even right now that you are trapped in this mortal body. And so when you begin to make contact with the realms eternal, and those immortal aspects of you wants to find expression, you now discover you are in time. And because you are in time, you are compelled to shut down a transaction that you were given access to plug in. You know, when we start worshiping God and we gain ascendancy in the spirit, we connect to something that began before time began. Worship in the spirit is like a river. You know, the Bible said there's a river that flows from the throne of God. That's an everlasting movement. Even when time is accomplished in the New Jerusalem, that river will still flow. And so when you plug into something that is eternal and you are having to be shut down because you are in time, it becomes a body. Where there's an immortal aspect of you that only the atmosphere, the fragrances of eternity can satisfy. And that's why when we worship God in eternity, when we worship God, we will know what the angels know. We will touch the rivers that the angels bask in. You know, when you enter the full weight and elements of worship, you will discover that the propensities of the flesh are suspended. That's why the Bible said, day and night, forever and ever, the four beasts, they worship God. Holy, holy, holy. You ask yourself, when do they rest? You ask yourself, when do they eat to be resuscitated? Because when you plug into the river of life, everything is life. And so you don't need to come to a mundane technology to eat food before you gain strength. That worship itself will become an invigorative element in your spirit. We will worship God in the realm, Satan. We will worship God. I'm looking forward to heaven, where we will test of the things and live in the reality of the things that we're only allowed to catch a glimpse of in time. I will talk to you about intimacy a bit today. Let me talk about intimacy. Because if we don't understand these things, we will pursue things that are mundane. The day you will leave this world, you will discover that the earth is noisy. From the moment other spirits began to walk into the earth realm, the hallowed nature of creation was compromised. And so there is no beauty on earth anymore. What you call pleasure and joy is a distorted reality. If the princes in darkness had not stepped into the earth realm, we would have touched a bit of pleasure. But because other spirits have corrupted things that flow from the bellies of Abba. We cannot even know what is real anymore. When you touch heaven, you will discover that earth is a fallen realm. You will discover. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Give your glory. I began earlier to share. Man was created in a class that was a bit above the realm of creation. When you begin to study the operations of man, you will discover God's intention was not for man to be trapped in time. The reason man began to live by chronological age is because upon the fall, he fell into time, and so time caught him. Before God judged man, there was no parameter to measure for how long he was in Eden. The age of man began to count after God judged him when he ate the fruit. We don't know for how long he was in Eden. All we knew was that Eden was being recorded by moments. It said, in the cool of the day, the word is ruach yom. Those are moments of the spirit. So man's age was calculated in moments, not in chronology. Because the value of man was captured in the weight of glory that he interacted with. So man would have lived in Eden for eternity, and nobody would have known his age. Because the way you don't know the age of angels, that's why you are not supposed to know the age of man. Because the age of man would have been captured in the weight of glory that he carries. When you want to check the age of an angel, you will check his age from his brightness and his intensity. That's why in the realms of God, beings were ranked according to their illumination. If you enter the spirit realm today, you will discover, if you have been given access, that Jesus is the brightest being in heaven. He has the highest rank and is older than the oldest. And so when you begin to study angels, you will discover that their illumination varies, and the intensity of their burning also varies. It's a function of rank and stature in that realm. And so when God created man, he wanted man to have intercourse with him from time to time, so that he will abstract glory. On the strength of his intimacy with God, the weight of glory that he carried would have increased, so that he will enter into his realm. He was not designed to live according to the protocol of time. Man was supposed to step into time and to bring the government of heaven into time as a co-creator with God. Because when God created man, he created him in his image and in his likeness. And so the plan God had in mind was for man to continue doing the things that he would have done if he was to dwell in the earth realm. But when man fell, time caught him. And so the value of his life began to ebb into time. You could now define man by the laws of creation. You could define man by the value system that is captured within the visible realm. Whereas, when he was created, he was not designed to walk in this visible realm. That's why God did not put man on earth. When man was created, he was not put on earth. He was supposed to step into earth, to shape earth like heaven. Where God put man is called Eden. And when you study Eden, you will discover that Eden is not a place on earth. Eden is a portal. Eden is a bridge, is a mystery in the creation of God. Eden is actually a hybrid of the spirit realm and the natural realm. And the reason Eden operates like that is because of the design of man. You know, God has a strange ability. One of the abilities God has is that God is spirit, but once and again, God can clothe himself with flesh. And so in Genesis chapter 18, when Adam was watching at the gate of Mamre, God came down and he said, the iniquity of Sodom have ascended to heaven. We have come down to see. So every time God enters earth, what he does is that he puts on flesh. So God has the power to put on flesh. In fact, where he mirrored it the brightest was in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God clothed himself with flesh so that he can participate in the activities of the earth realm. But you see, there's also an ability God gave man. The way God puts on flesh, he gave man an ability to put in spirit. Because the idea was for man to mirror God. So when you see the man is like a reverse mechanism of God. Why God is spirit that wears flesh? Man is flesh that puts in spirit. So when you look at God and man, they are same realities from different perspectives. God is from the spirit, man is from the natural. So the only place where God and man can live successfully also has to be a bridge that is spirit and earth. And that's what he created called Eden. So Eden is not earth. Eden is not spirit. Eden is a convergence point where only creatures that coexist, spirit and flesh, can dwell. So the first man that was created was not created to live on earth. It is the fall that made you and I to be controlled by the powers of time. And because we are controlled by the powers of time, you have to live by principles. But there's a realm that is available. Vast realm in Christ that every man should walk into. When Christianity is reduced to the laws that govern the earth realm, then we have become miniature creatures. We are not designed to live by the laws that govern the earth realm. We are designed to live like celestial beings set into the earth as ambassadors to redesign earth until earth becomes like heaven. Between heaven and earth. And so in Psalm 82, when the prophet was granted access into the spirit, he said, they know not, neither will they understand. He said, they walk on in darkness. He said, for the foundations of the earth is out of course. Because what keeps the earth in place is that convergence portal called Eden. But when man fell, there was a disconnect. The spirit realm folded back into the spirit realm, and earth was left as corruption. And so man understands that he was not designed to exist like the beast of the field. He was created a being of honor. And honor is not manipulation. Honor is the ability to walk in glory. Because when the psalmist looked into the spirit, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with honor and glory. But when man began to function like the beast, He forfeited honor. And so he began to live by the laws of the earth realm. And the reason is because Eden had gone. And when he was functioning like that, the spirits that were sent out of the heavens could rule over him. He became a slave of many spirits apart from God. But when men began to grow wise, they understood that the technology was for them to live from another dimension, so that they can bring government to the earth realm. And so in Genesis chapter 4 verse 25, the Bible said, God gave to Seth, to Adam, another child in the place of Abel that Cain slew. And he said his name was called Seth. And he said from then, men began to call on the name of the Lord. The reason is because when man became desperate to go back into the ecosystem where he was created to function, the realm where intimacy was possible, he realized that there must be another technology by which he can create something that looks like what was lost. And so the only way that the atmosphere of Eden could be restored is a technology that men discovered eventually. It's called the technology of the altar. An altar is not a stone. An altar is actually
a spiritual technology that invokes Eden. That's why altars are places where spirits meet with men. So you can mount a stone. If a spirit can't meet you there, it's not an altar. It's a religious activity. This place is not an altar because it's elevated. This place can only become an altar if a spirit can meet with me anytime I stand here. Because the idea is to restore Eden. So altars are actually mobile Eden. So when a man understands that he cannot live apart from Eden, he will begin to create altars so that he will restore Eden to his ecosystem. Because until Eden is restored, God cannot alight. And if God does not alight, life will be wasted. No matter how smart you are, your life begins to count the day you begin to strike chords in eternity. And only by Eden can that be achieved. I was teaching some of the leaders I'm raising, and I told them that before an altar is created, there must be an engagement of spiritual provisions to a point that consistency is achieved. The name of that consistency is called consecration. When that consistency is achieved, it will impact you. It will not just impact your spirit. It will impact your psychology, impact your anatomy, impact your physiology until a culture is created. Because what I exposed them to, most of them have never seen it before. I designed a program for 90 days fasting. And in these 90 days, they will pray 7 hours every day. And in these 7 hours of prayer, they will study the Bible cover to cover for 90 days. When you engage the spirit like that, it will change you. You will wake up and discover that the time you used to wake up will change. You will be in your office because every 3 hours of the day you pray for 1 hour, unconsciously you will start speaking in tongues. You will not know when your boss is talking to you and something is happening to you, because the idea is that through consistency and consecration, your structure in the spirit is altered. And when your structure is altered, that alteration that happens to you becomes a gangway that the Holy Ghost will find you again. When the Holy Ghost finds you and intimacy is restored, the frequency where you meet the Holy Spirit is what we call an altar. An altar is not the wood. An altar is a frequency in the spirit that is created because through consistency, consecration is achieved that alters your structure until you can meet that spirit there. Because without intimacy, life will count for nothing. There are many believers running to God for healing, and God is looking at them. You mean you need healing? Are you aware that you have eternal life? Are you aware that captured in eternal life is a superior technology to healing called divine health? How come you have not been able to provoke divine health? Because you don't know intimacy. The things that God has made available to you operate at the corridor of intimacy. You find believers confused, asking what to do, and the Holy Ghost asks them, are you aware that he that dwells in you is called the light of men? Do you know that light resides on your inside? How come you have not been able to activate light from within? Because when this anointing begins to work, it said in 1 John 2:20 and 27, you don't need any man to teach you. It said you have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One. And it said that unction teaches you all things, but it will take intimacy for the light that is in your spirit to find expression. Because life begins when intimacy is achieved. There are too many people living in isolation from the spirit realm. There are too many people who have not made contact with the realms of life. We gather a lot of principles, and these principles we apply is the principles that the sons of the bond women apply. So what is the difference between you and the Muslim? What is the difference between you and the fornicator? What is the difference between you and the man who doesn't have Jesus? You are living at the realm of principles. They also live at the realm of principle. Are you not aware that there is something higher? You can't know it because intimacy has not been achieved. When you know this, you will return to your status as a God. Because he said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. And he said, if he said you are God, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken. When a man is born of God, he enters the status of a God. Because he's supposed to reveal the invisible dimensions of the God that is in the invisible realm, in the visible realm. How come people that should walk in the statue and in the class of God are living like beggars? You see, I see an abomination on the face of the earth. That princes are walking while beggars are riding on horses. The calamity of man is the absence of intimacy. When intimacy is gone, darkness establishes its throne. I told you there are 5 levels of darkness. The first level of darkness is ignorance, where light is taken from you. The second level of darkness is a state of chaos, where there is destruction all over and you can do nothing about it. The third level of darkness is the operation of demons and you have no power over them. The fourth level of darkness are demons themselves possessing people and causing them to obey their dictates. The fifth level of darkness is a state of godlessness. All of these are progressive revelation that intimacy is gone. When there is no intimacy, the quality of life declines. And so the first thing we must bring believers to restore in their life is an intimate walk with God. Because when intimacy is restored, everything they need, they don't look for it outside. They fetch it from inside. Because everything they need for life and godliness, the Bible said, has already been given. But it is through the knowledge of Him that have called you to glory and virtue. When you are running around to look for things, it means you have not found the wealth that is on your inside. It will take intimacy for you to know that even eternity has been planted in your heart. It will take intimacy for you to know that Him that dwells in your spirit is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So you don't need no man to help you. If men should help you, that power on your inside will rout them to help you. You won't beg for it. You will command it in the spirit. The prophets of old knew this, and they spent all their lives pursuing intimacy. When you look for any man in scripture that was referenced, he was referenced because he stood somewhere with God. Elijah said, "Before God, whom I stand." He was in the palace, but the palace was not a distraction. He knew he had something that was greater than the palace. He didn't come to the king cowering like Christians of today, hoping that the king will help them. He said, "No. Even though it looks like I'm in your palace," he said, "you don't know where I'm standing. I'm standing somewhere higher than your palace." And from where he stood, he said, "For the next 3.5 years, there will be no rain or dew in this land. The king with all his powers could do nothing about it." He thought the man was bluffing. 1 year passed, 2 years passed, 3 years passed, and they began to look for Elijah everywhere. He gave the king a new occupation. When Obadiah finally found him, he said, "We have looked for you in every nation and in every city." The reason is because the guy was not on earth. He returned to Eden. "We have looked for you everywhere. Where have you been?" "I'm in Eden." Because he was hid in God. They went to every city and every known territory. And to make things worse, even when he told Obadiah, "Go and tell the king I'm coming," Obadiah said, "You, before I turn my back," he said, "God will take you by the whirlwind." That means the guy knew Eden so much, he doesn't need a donkey to travel. When he wants to travel, the movement of the spirit, like the wind, carried him to where he was going. It was not something that happened once in a while. He lived in Eden so much, it became his natural medium of transportation. You can't teach that to the believers of today. Because we have been mentored to think that the supernatural life is impossible. So we have submitted and made up our mind to live the mundane life. But I came to tell you that if sons will rise, they must go back to Eden. You are not all you look like. There's something about you that even you have not found out. When you discover it, you will testify, like the psalmist, that you were terribly and wonderfully made. Because the dimensions of God are locked in your spirit. You must travel there in time to unlock it. Never return to eternity until you find out everything that was put on your inside and you walk in it on earth. Because for us who are born of God, our heavens don't begin when we die. While we are yet on earth, we walk in it as a reality. That's why Elijah didn't need to die. He understood this technology so much that he walked in it until even when he wanted to leave, it was the same whirlwind with which he traveled that he traveled to heaven. Who told you that Christianity is the animal life? Who told you that Christianity is a life of rules and regulations? How do you set rules for a God? How do you set principles for a God? You are an offspring of an invincible God, and you were created to live like Him. The powers that created the earth dwells on your inside. How come you have been a Christian for 10 years and you have not found it? And you celebrate activity in church. You celebrate activities. You celebrate titles. Where is the God dimension that you carry? When the old prophets came out, they came out with dimensions. You knew them by dimensions. Moses was troubled and he went into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days. When Moses returned, the first thing that happened is that in Exodus 7 verse 1, he said, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. The reason is because anybody who is living in Eden is living at a realm superior to the earth realm. So he becomes a ruler over the earth realm. God himself said, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. Moses walked in these things until a point came. The Bible said the law of God became the law of Moses. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 15, it says when Moses is read. So when you are reading Exodus, you are reading Moses. It's just like a doctor tear your stomach and is studying your anatomy. When you are studying numbers, you are reading Moses. Because Moses became like the laws that you read. He had tarried in glory until he became like that. He was so deep in this that Moses could not die. At 120, he said his strength have not been abated. His eyes have not grown dim. Even God knew that if I don't kill this man, he will be here for 1,000 years. God had to kill him. And the way God killed Moses, he killed Moses in hiding. Because the way you kill a God is strange. Even when God succeeded in killing Moses, the devil came looking for his body. It bleeds the heart of the father that Christians walk in peril. And then he's asking them, how come you have not journeyed? Don't you know the things awaiting you? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are? The greatest question of life is the question of discovery of yourself in God. How come you have not found yourself? How come you are satisfied with the title of Christian and prophet? He said, there is more. There is more. There is something hid above the stars. I've called you to participate in it. Did you read about Samuel? The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, an army, the way Russia is invading Ukraine now, an army was invading Israel. Samuel didn't train soldiers. He said Samuel took a stone, planted the stone on the ground, poured oil on it, and called it Ebenezer. And he said the moment Samuel invoked that technology, he said the hand of God was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel's life. He shut down an army by superior technology. What kind of being is that? A point came, the Bible said, the city where Samuel was living, he created a radar of the anointing called Naioth Ramah. When Saul came to arrest Samuel, the moment he entered the boundary of that city, he fell down. He pulled his clothes and began to prophesy. That means Samuel doesn't need a gate man. There is a technology of the radar anointing that Samuel created that secured the city. What kind of dimension do these men carry? They literally walked on the earth like gods among men. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. I came to challenge you that our generation have been led into psychology. The days of power must return. And for those days to return, sons must rise that know they carry the DNA of God. We are satisfied with everything. We clap hands for everything. We are moved by everything. Did you not read in Romans 15 verse 4? It said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for your learning, so that you through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 11, Jesus said, of all men that lived before John, he said John was greater than all of them. Meanwhile, he said, for you and I who are born again, he said the least of us is greater than John. How come your manifestation doesn't resemble any patriarch of old? Because you have violated the demands of intimacy. I can pray for you, you are healed now. That's the least thing you can receive. When you make up your mind and say, I will travel, I will journey with God, you will arrive at a point where you will never need any man to pray healing for you. I can give you a prophetic word now. It will help you for a season. But there is a realm you can travel to, and you will look at it from a superior dimension. You won't need anybody to give you word of knowledge. When you come to church, you are coming to church because you want to enjoy fellowship. That's where God wants to take us to. Did you read about David? I told you about David two Sundays ago. David operated in the seven dimensions of the anointing. David was a shepherd. David was a poet. David was a king. David was a warrior. David was a worshiper or a psalmist. David was called a father. How can one man function in so much power? A point came, David said, by my God, I ran through a troop. One man. Do you know what it will mean now if one person runs through the army of Russia and all their armored tanks shut down? And when he stands on the other side, he turns back. He says, I am a Christian. These were the feet that these men were operating in the Old Testament. He said, by my God, I ran through a troop. He said, by my God, I leaped over a wall. He said, by my arm, I broke a bowl of steel. What kind of power is that? And he doesn't carry eternal life. The time has come for us to go back and excavate hunger from our spirit and say we will no longer receive these peanuts that is thrown at us. We want to find God for ourselves. We want to find God. If he said the least of us is greater than all of them in the Old Testament, then the life I'm living now is a lie. Because I don't come close to David. I don't come close to Moses. They offended Moses. He said, except I am not a man of God. He said, the earth will open its mouth and swallow you up. A man talking to earth and earth heard him. Israel went to war in Joshua chapter 10 verse 12. And they were fighting. And Joshua saw that when it was getting late, Israel was disadvantaged. And Joshua stood up and looked at the sun. And he said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valleys of Gibeon. And he said, the earth, the sun, did not make haste to go down. He said, no day has been like that, and never will there be in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. If I'm greater than all of them in the Old Testament, it means I've not started living. Because you have not done one third of what they did. Are you going to say you are greater than Moses? Who did not just challenge? Moses came into Egypt with a staff. And he brought down a whole civilization. The strongest civilization in his time. It's like you standing up and going to America with a staff and bringing down the United States with a staff. And you compel them to obey everything you say. And when they do, you carry your people out and they change their mind. And when they chased you, you commanded the sea to swallow them. Are you greater than Moses? Are you greater than David? Are you greater than Elijah? A soldier, a battalion of soldiers came to arrest Elijah.
say, except I'm not a man of God. If I am a man of God, he said, let fire fall from... How do you know fire dwell in heaven? And who told you you could command fire out of heaven? He said, if I'm a man of God, let fire drop from heaven and lick you up. And he didn't do it once. He did it not twice, three times. When the third captain came, he knelt down and began to beg him, please, don't be offended. Because when he showed up, he looked around him. He saw fire from nowhere, burnt a whole troop. He discovered that you don't fight this kind of men with your abilities. So he had to beg him, please, have mercy on me, my Lord. Are you greater than Elijah? You are supposed to be. So if you are not, it means this life you are living is a lie. With the healing you received, with the prophecy for prosperity you received, all of that put together, this life you are living is a lie. Because the man you and I were told we are greater than, they conquered nations. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They put to flight the armies of the alien. How come even headache today undermines our faith? How come the least challenge today throw us off balance? It means we have not traveled in God. Because Jesus said in John 17 verse 3, he said, this is life eternal. It's not oxygen. He said that you may know him. That you may experience him. That you may know him, the only true God. So if you are not living greater than all of these men, it means you don't know him. The problem is not whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. The problem is not whether you have eternal life or not. The problem is, how much of him do you know? That's why Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable with him. Because Paul knew that in this life you can become like the God that you worship. That's why Paul said, day and night we groan, that we may take off this earthly garment. That we may take off the days where we pride ourselves because we have 100,000 followers are gone. How many sons are among them? How many men who can reveal God are among them? The day where we come on Facebook and say we have 200,000 followers, so we have a big platform, is gone. Because platform is not about how many people follow you. Platform is about the quality of witness you are generating for a generation. And how many are being changed on the strength of that witness. A man can have 10 followers and all of them are like gods. That man's platform is bigger than the man who has 300,000 followers but cannot raise one God among them. We prioritize in the wrong things. When Jesus came into this world, he sat down with 500 men. When he left this world, in fact, the night he was to leave, they could not identify which of them was Jesus Christ. Judas had to kiss him to show that he's this one, because all of them had become like him. So you can't know which one is Jesus, because anyone you touch can do what Jesus does. Judas had to kiss Jesus to show that this is the one we are talking about. If you go, you may catch Peter, because these guys have become like the Messiah. And when Judas, who was the son of perdition, betrayed him, the Bible said they took one who went in and out with them from the baptism of John. That guy was never mentioned when Jesus was raising them. But because he was in that assembly, they just picked him, and the same guy, Matthias, he had the same stature as the 11 disciples. So Jesus didn't come to raise crowd. He came to raise his kind. That's why Paul says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. What is the dimension you carry? There's a journey every believer must embark on. It's called the journey of intimacy. When you discover that life is not about what you can receive, but about who you have become, then you will embrace this journey. He said, as many as believed him. He didn't say he gave them anything. He said to them, he gave power to become. So you have to become before you celebrate what you carry. If you have not become, what you have is a lie. In the day of trouble, you will be shocked. If you know it's about becoming like God, you will brace yourself for the journey of intimacy. Because only by intimacy can we see him and know him as he is. There are seven cadres of intimacy. The first is the realm of stories. There are people today, Christians with eternal life. All they know about God are the stories they told them. If you live at that realm of intimacy, every challenge on life will defeat you. But unfortunately, the largest percentage of believers, their relationship with God is at the level of stories. Hope you know that when Israel was besieged by the Midianites, everybody was at the level of stories. And so Gideon sat down and said, where is the God they told us wrought wonders in Egypt? If all you know is stories, you will know about it, but the devil will still torment you. The first realm of intimacy is the realm of stories. You carry the Bible, you read stories, and then you carry those stories and went out. Stories cannot confront the challenges of your life. When cancer comes, story can't bring cancer down. Stories can excite you, but stories don't have the power to transform you. Stories don't have the power to create the change you are looking for. Are you still at the level of stories? There's nothing wrong with it, because there's somewhere everyone starts from. All of us came and were told about God. In 1 John chapter 1, it said that which was from the beginning, which we heard. So they also began from stories. But a point came, he said, we looked upon. A point came, he said, our hands handled. We didn't stop where we heard. If you have heard stories and you know about the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people, you know about the story of creation, you know about the story of parting of the Red Sea, congratulations, but there is a deeper journey. You can't stop at the level of stories. Some of us, all we know are the things somebody told us. You can't stop there. Because if you stop there, you will not realize your destiny. And the day you journey out of time, you will discover you missed out of existence. You will enter eternity and they will ask you to look back. And when you look back, you will see that the man that God sent to earth was a prophet. But the man who came to eternity came as a Christian who never entered the prophetic order. You will look back and you will discover the man God sent to earth was a national leader. But the man who came to heaven as a beggar. Where is the disconnect? He didn't pay the price to know God more than stories. He heard stories about God, and every time he speaks, he said, well, they said. You will never hear them say, God told me. When you can't find people who tell you, God told me. No, their Christianity is at the lowest level of intimacy. No matter how good a teacher your pastor is, you've got to journey to a point where you can say, God told me. He said, my sheep heareth my voice and they obey. Thank God for your good teacher. Thank God for your good pastor. Thank God for your good apostle. But if he doesn't spur you to pressing into God, for you to find him for yourself, he has not helped you. Your pastor may be a miracle worker, but if all he gave you are miracles, he didn't help you. Because miracles will not make you enter your destiny. Did you read about the children of Israel? They saw miracles every day and every night. The Bible said as they came out of Egypt, God went after them as a pillar of fire at night and as a pillar of cloud in the day. He said they fed on manna. Every morning, their food fell from heaven. They ate angels' bread. But they never became anything. They said they knew the acts of God. Only Moses knew the ways of God. Somebody has to make up his mind and say, no, it's enough of the stories. Stories have excited me. Stories have inspired me. But I want to go forward. They told me about Archbishop Benson in Idahosa, how that he goes for crusades and things happen on their own accord. And I told myself, enough of going out and preaching Benson in Idahosa. It's time to manifest the dimensions myself. Because if you don't make up your mind that stories are not enough, you will remain there for the rest of your life. Are stories good? Yes, they inspire you. But the greatest thing they can do for you is to stir a hunger that drives you to seek God for yourself. And so the first level of intimacy is the level of stories. Anybody can know the story of God. Even the Muslims tell the story of Jesus Christ. they know one or two things. They know that he was born of a virgin, but they know he's a prophet. They know part of the story, but they don't know the full being called Christ. They know about Moses. They know about Abraham. They know about Elijah. So if all you carry are stories, then you don't have any difference with the Muslim. You don't have any difference with the theologian that is teaching theology in Oxford Bible College. Because he knows all the stories. He even knows it better than you. And so if your walk with God is at the level of story, come up hither. Come up hither. I came to provoke hunger in your spirit. I'm not talking to poor people. I'm not talking to young people. I'm talking to everybody that is created into this world. Because the weight of your destiny and the fullness of what God created you to be cannot be realized at the level of stories. Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua, Hamashiach. Stories. Read the Bible and hear somebody else. So people who function at the level of stories, they have read the book and they have heard somebody talk about it. But if you want to have more, then you will do more than just reading and hearing others. The second level of intimacy is the level of principles. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he said, God saw the light that it was good. And that was the first day. He said, there was evening and there was morning. And that was the first day. Now, those who understand principles, or those who function at the level of principles, they have read the stories, but they took out time to examine the story a bit more, to find out, what is he saying that is not obvious? So they can use their mind to probe through it. They can receive a little illumination to see something beyond the story. Because from what I just read now, there is a story dimension of it, which is what you heard. But there is a principle embedded there. That when God saw darkness, God was not concerned about darkness. God focused on what he wanted to see. The Bible said the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep. And when God spoke, God didn't mention darkness. God said light appear. So the principle is focus on what you want to see and declare what you want to see. That's a higher realm than stories. If you function at the level of principle, you begin to dominate the visible realm. So when you read the word, you find out what is the principle behind it. So the very first chapter of the Bible is littered with a lot of principles. When you function at the level of principles, your life will become regimented. So for example, the doctor tells you that your bone is becoming weak and that in a short while you will not be able to walk anymore. You will leave the doctor. Thank God for what he has said. He has spoken because he studied for 7 years. But there's a principle that is superior to what he has said. And what is the principle? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen, they are eternal. Therefore, I will never say what the doctor said. I will say what the word of God said. And so you are enforcing what the word of God said over and above what the doctor said. You will not just sit there and say, it will not happen. No! If you know the principle insists that what? You must see it and you must say it. So you have to close your eyes and meditatively see yourself walking even when you are 80 years old. And you don't stop there. You keep decreeing it. You keep decreeing it that my bones are strong. As you are applying this principle, the principle will overturn what the doctor told you. Because that's how principles work. Gravity will always exist. But planes will fly, gravity notwithstanding. The reason planes fly is not because they remove gravity. The reason planes fly is because they bring another law that is superior to the law of gravity. It's called the law of aerodynamics. So when the plane wants to fly, there are a set of things it does that makes it overpower the principle of gravity. The plane will have to hit an acceleration of 160 miles per second. If that plane is running at that speed, it's possible for the plane to be on ground. It must fly. So when a plane is flying, it applies the law of lift, and the law of lift cancels the law of gravity. That's why the Bible said the light shines in the darkness. The light doesn't need the darkness to go away. The darkness's presence is what glorifies the light. It's a level of intimacy. That level is a testimony that your God is faithful. So those who function at the level of intimate of principles, they are constantly testifying. Although I don't feel it, although it doesn't look as if it will happen, but my God is faithful. And because my God is faithful, I will take him at his word. That's a beautiful realm to operate. The problem with principles is that principles are universal. If you sow today, you will reap. If the sinner sows, the sinner will reap. If the fornicator sows, the fornicator will reap. So that you are working at the level of principle does not necessarily mean you know God. So there is more. I'm telling you, the church of Christ today are functioning only at the level of principles. So you come to church from January to December. They are telling you principles of prosperity, principles of good health, principles of proper relationship. And then because our appetite is only to succeed in this life, we can't sit down. When they are telling you, oh, how to prosper, people stand up. They are hitting themselves. They are taking notes. They are taking notes. Whereas they are godless people. The same things that you can learn from Harvard Business School is what a pastor teaches. And he teaches it from January to December. And because we apply these principles, it works. We drive our two cars. And when we park those cars, you know, there's so much excellence. And then everybody comes in speaking only Queen's English. There's a way we walk like kings, we square our shoulders. And when you check, 90% are fornicators. Because they were not taught how to dominate eternity, they were only taught how to dominate the natural realm. And they think their life will value at that level. Did you read about the man God called Fool? He applied all the principle. He said, now my barn is full. I will rest my soul. And God spoke from heaven. He said, you fool. You are rich on earth, but you are not rich with God. The problem with living at the level of principle is that you will only dominate the natural world, because principles are universal. There is another level of intimacy. The third level of intimacy is to have a revelational knowledge of Jesus. And this is where the true journey begins from. My time is limited. So I don't want to overstretch things. See the beautiful thing about this journey of intimacy. Without every contradiction, the lesser is included in the greater. A man who is functioning at the level of principles will have all the results that stories give. A man who is functioning at the level of the revelation of Jesus will have all the results that principles give and all the results that stories give. Because when you go higher, the down ones will automatically be included. That's why you don't lose pressing into God. It's that seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. He said, all these things that the pagans seek will be added to you. The third level of intimacy is the level of the revelation of Jesus. And the way a man has revelation of Jesus, aside studying, aside meditation, is that he must develop the culture of waiting in his presence. Because that is That one comes to you by disclosures. You don't use God at that level. At that level, you sit. God becomes your only pursuit. Because until you seek Him with the whole of your heart, you will never find Him. He knows you are busy. He knows there are many legitimate things to do. But He will watch you to see whether you have time for Him. When you have time, you know God is light. And for those of us who have studied light, we know that though the light looks like a ray, but this light you are seeing, they are in packets. We call them quanta. Lights move in packet. So every time you sit and you shut out everything, He will release one packet to you. And that day, you will discover the love of God. And you didn't collect anything from Him, but that love of God will suddenly begin to satisfy your soul. And though the fig tree may not blossom, but you have found the love of God. And you will carry that love of God as a treasure, and you will keep it. Another time, He will show you His faithfulness. You are going through the fire. Nobody came to help you. And then He just whispers to you, "I am with you." And then you ask Him, "If you are with me, then deliver me." He said, "It's not always about deliverance. I am with you." And when He's with you, He said, "If you go through the fire, you will not be burnt." So you now discover there is a realm superior to deliverance from fire. There is a realm where it's fire that is trying to be delivered from you. Because when you go through the fire and you are not burnt, you no longer need deliverance from fire. It means you have become a god over fire. The people who function by principles, their pursuit is result. But the people who function by knowledge, the knowledge of the Son, their pursuit is to apprehend more of Him. And the more you apprehend Him, the more you discover the things principles give, you will have them naturally. They will become additions to your life. Did you read in John chapter 6 verse 6? The Bible said Jesus taught them for 3 days non-stop. A point came, the apostles came and said, "These people are hungry. You want to kill them? We have been here for 3 days. There are children here too." The man was obsessed about making them know Him, that he forgot they needed to eat food. And when they reminded Him, He said, "Okay, what do they have?" He said, "They have nothing." He said, "You give them something." The people turned and looked at Him. "Don't you know how the earth works? Before we can feed these people, we have to buy food that is equivalent to a year's wages. Who has that money here?" And Jesus said, "What do they have?" They say, "Well, all they have is a young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Okay, bring it." The person who told Him said, "What can that do among this crowd?" Because all he knows is principle. He doesn't know that at the level of the revelation of Jesus, there are superior laws. I know sowing and reaping is a universal principle. But I also know that in Christ, there is a technology of multiplication of bread. And so when He carried the bread, He didn't need to plant it and wait for a harvest. He lifted it up and thanked the Lord. "I thank you, O Father." And He said, "Make them to sit down in 50s and in 100s. When they sat down, the Bible said He broke the bread. He gave it to them to distribute. As they started distributing, the bread began to multiply. You are not permitted to live only at the level of principle. While you are applying those principles, you need to tell Him, "I am seeking you. You are more important than the result. I'm not just interested in the result, that I may know you. What is the power that makes this result happen? What is the power that makes this thing work? I know when I sow, I reap. But what is the power that makes the crop to produce result? I want to know beyond the principle. I want to know the spirit that is behind the principle." Because what you call a principle is the byproduct of the life force of a spirit. But many don't know Him because they don't wait on Him. They run to God, receive something and runs away. And even we pastors, we have known that people are only interested in things. So we build our whole service around people's needs. We build the whole service around people's wants. And then we are running everybody jumping. And after 10 years, nobody knows God. You come, everybody, backbiting is still taking place. Malice is still taking place. Fornication is still taking place. And they say the power of God is here. Because people are not exposed to the knowledge of the Christ. And because they are not exposed, they will always depend on the one man that knows God. So after every year, the number of people surrounding that one man keeps increasing, and the man becomes a star. It was not so in the days of Jesus. He carried them through the process for them to find him for themselves. Have you known the God that multiplies bread? Have you known the God that makes your seed sown to produce a harvest? Have you known the God that healed your sickness? Or you just took the sickness like the 9 lepers and ran away? Only one came back. Because that one was not only interested in healing. He came back to God. And God said, where are the 9? Were there not 10 of you who were cleansed? Where are the 9? They don't remember God. They only came for resort. And now that they have had resort to hell with Jesus Christ, we don't care about it. That's how many believers live their lives. I need healing. And then you see them hitting the wall, shouting, the moment healing comes, to hell with Jesus. The prayer suddenly becomes too burdensome. The vigil suddenly becomes too frequent. The study of the word suddenly becomes a burden, because they came for resort. And what they don't know is that earth will celebrate the resort, but heaven will not celebrate the resort. They will celebrate who you have become in God. Yeshua.
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 Because you just wanted to hear God. When they told you there was a problem, suddenly sleep left your eyes. You knelt down and you were challenging the problem. The moment you got your answer, your knee became far from ground. Because you were never interested in Jesus. You came to use God. When was the last time you came to God for himself? Our generation is mentored after our appetites. So when you see somebody seeking the Lord, find out there's a problem. The moment the problem is met, prayer becomes a body, because it's never Jesus is looking for. I told them to pray for 1 hour before every service and worship for 30 minutes. You need to see how tired some people are when the prayer exceeds 10 minutes. They are hoping and wishing the prayer will stop, but it will never stop. We are used to coming to church, hey, and everybody is dancing, because that one satisfies the flesh. When you want to drill them so that they will journey past flesh, so that they can plug into where the King Eternal dwells, they can't pay the price. When you say healing service, the place is packed. Who told you healing is the testimony? Jesus is the testimony. When you find him, sickness will be far from your borders. How can't we know that the answer is the person, not what he does?
Yeshua.
enough is enough. Enough of pursuing God only for what he has to offer. He said in Genesis 15 verse 1, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I come to God for God. What is that thing that Paul knows? Where is that place that the patriarchs of old entered? How come they knew this being so much that they became like him? These men knew Jesus so much that they spoke. We have been fishermen who were not educated. They followed this man. They knew him so much that the things they said, today professors of theology are still studying it, trying to understand it. What fishermen uttered, because Christ became unto them wisdom, Christ became unto them power, Christ became unto them glory, that the things they said for aeons, those words are still fresh. And so today you come and you speak those things, they are still life, because they were talking from a revelation. The ancient patriarchs of old, some of them, a point came, the hunger for Jesus became too much. They left civilization. They were called desert fathers. They journeyed away into places of solitude. They wanted to receive signals from heaven, because there was a hunger that nothing could satisfy. And somebody will leave home and go to the mountain for 40 days. And you cannot not speak without those people. Everybody is talking about Babalola, but it took many days and years of solitude to catch and to apprehend him. Some of the hymns that these people sang, any day you sing it, it comes with an anointing. Those hymns have carried upon themselves the life of the Christos. Today we sing a song, after 6 months nobody remembers it, because we sing from our head. We don't function from where light dwells. When will the generation rise that has the power to give away distraction and seek him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire? When will that generation rise that have stamina in God's presence? A generation that can look upon him until the light breaks out of the spiritual. If our service exceeds 3 hours, people are tired. How can you be tired in God's presence? The realm where life dwells. How can you come to the fountains of life and instead of being reinvigorated, you are tired? He said, times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. He said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeareth before the Lord. How come our generation cannot break out of flesh and enter the chambers of life? What have we been taught? Where are the burdens that the patriarchs of old carried? That a man can walk for 10 years is looking for the God that his fathers told him about. He said, my time will not pass until I have apprehended this God. Paul said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We also, having the same spirit of faith, that thing they saw, we must see it. That thing they handled, we must handle it. That place they entered, we must enter. Ministry by LED screens. We judge successful ministry by the number of congregation. But in the days of the patriarch, when they come out, he said, I was in the eye called Patmos. I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And when I turned, he said, come up hither. And he came with testimony for a generation. He said, these things I write to the church in Ephesus. He doesn't need to pioneer a church, but when he speaks,
His words are the lively oracles of God. In the days of the fathers, you don't need to have a congregation to be successful in ministry. Because when they check you, they find out the testimony that comes from your spirit. Paul will raise a church. After 2 years, he leaves it. He's seeking God. He's seeking God. He doesn't become more successful because the number grew. He becomes more successful because every day he sees more of him. Because he started ministry by seeing him. He said, when it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me, I conferred not with flesh and blood, but I went to Arabia. The journey of songs is a journey in seeking of the depth of life. I want to drink of the waters of eternity. What is it the fathers knew? I want to walk in the corridors where they walked. Those were the things that drove them. And the point came. Paul became so mighty. He said, concerning virgins, I have no word from the Lord. But as a man who is trustworthy, I can speak on these matters. And the things that Paul uttered, they became scriptures. What kind of power is that? That kind of man doesn't need to have a ministry with a name to have stature with God. Because the things he said, they have become scripture. They are immortal. He said concerning Mary, she brought a perfume worth a year's wages. When he found the Christ, he broke it at his feet. And the people began to lament. And Jesus said, you don't know what growth is. He said, this thing that she has done, her name will be remembered as a memorial anywhere this gospel is preached. These men saw things that were eternal. And they knew the only way to latch on to the realms eternal is to find the God of eternity. And so day and night, they sought him in the spirit. What has happened to our hunger? What has happened to the burdens of God in our spirit? They have been aborted by lust after the things that mammon offers. So there are no men anymore that carry God in their spirit tangibly. You will not live eternity. You will not leave this realm until you find God. Until you know Jesus by experience. You will not leave this realm until you know him by experience. You too will come to a level you will say, my God is the God of fire. Because he will no longer be the one you read in the book. The patriarchs of old, they knew him personally. So Abraham called him El Shaddai. I know the God that supplies. I walked with him.
what? No, we know man after the flesh. We want to find out what is the weight you carry in your spirit. When you talk, how much of Jesus can we see? When you walk by, how much of Jesus can we interact with? We want to know men after the dimensions of the Christos that they represent. The era where bearers of the torch must rise have come. And so I come to you today in the spirit of the fathers and the patriarchs of old. I decree a fresh hunger. I decree a fresh hunger for the presence. I decree a fresh hunger. Altars are restored. Altars are restored. Altars are restored. His weapons are changed. The man of principles have wisdom, but the man who has found Christ have different set of weapons. One of his weapons is hunger. That man can be on the altar, yeah, and see those hunger that comes out as vibration. They are like the pantings of the deer. He's seeking water. He's seeking the river of eternity. Those are the men that displaces princes from the heavens. A man who has found Christ, his weapon is a button. A man who has found Christ, his weapon is light and illumination. A man who has found Christ, his weapon is... Hear me. There are certain of you that some coronations will begin to happen to you now. Ushers, it's time to help me. I can see warriors coming to this building now. Help me find them. On ground and online, receive power to stand in the presence. Even look who they are. Some people have been clothed with fire. The fire of heaven. The fire. Hear me. There is a presbytery about to be formed here in the spirit. I see number 24 in the spirit. And he said he wants to raise a spiritual presbytery over this house. As I speak now, one of three things will happen to you. Some of you, a literal fire will hit you where you are. Some of you, a word will come to you as a way of instruction. And some of you, a button will hit your spirit. Father, everyone ordained for this council in the spirit, now I release that grace. I release that grace. Step into that grace. Altars, bring them to the altar. Bring them to the altar. Bring them to the altar.
You are crying and asking God to intervene in your life. God is telling you, come up hither. I'm bringing you where solution dwells. You are not needing answer. You are the answer. You are the answer. You don't need me to give you an answer. You are the answer. And so in the name of Jesus, receive that impartation. Take that mantle. Take that garment. Take that garment. Help that sister. Take that garment. Take that garment. Balakabo dia tavash. Ragi badanos. Balakadia da dabados. The keyboard, hear me. Some of you, the answers you have been waiting for, it just came to you. But listen, God is not only giving you the answer, He's making you that answer to your generation. What is happening here is a shift in the spirit. My God, I'm seeing light somewhere there. Those of you there, lift your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Take that light right now. Take that light. Light is moving in this auditorium. In the name of Jesus, men are stepping into new ranks in the spirit. New ranks, new order in the spirit. Hallelujah. Pray in the spirit. I'm seeing beings enter this building. Some of you are receiving the power to fight in the spirit. The power to fight in the spirit. There is a DNA reordering on ground, online. Everyone being equipped for the season. Everyone being equipped now. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace. Play the keyboard. Hear me. I'm seeing men being launched into different spheres of human endeavor. There is a horn being exalted in the spirit, and some people are being launched into government. Some are being launched into the academia. Some are being launched. Listen, it's an exaltation of horns as a sign. As a sign, the hand of God will hit three people violently, because God is particularly clothing them with new mantles. Father, in the name of Jesus, wherever these three are, 1, 2, 3, touch them. Hush, accept them so they are not injured. There is a fire burning in the spirit. Lukewarm people. People struggling. In the name of Jesus, receive that activation. Some of you, for long, You pray, you don't receive feedbacks. The realms open to you now. I'm seeing people, your eyes are itching you now. As I speak, your eyes, there are burning sensations. Please help them. The realms open to you. As you pray, receive feedbacks. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. It's important you hear, because these words are entering your spirit. Forget about those falling. That's their response. You don't have to fall to receive. Hear me. I'm seeing the hands of men being girded with strength, because God is bringing them to the front line. You were behind. Nobody knew you. Some of you have even lost your seasons. But God is speaking you. I'm bringing you to the front line. And because of that, there is a spiritual fortification that is given to you. So people's hands are being girded with strength on the galleries and on the floor. Everyone implicated by this utterance, now, in the name of Jesus, take that grace. Help them on the gallery. I'm seeing a fire burning here. In the name of Jesus, take that grace. Enough of shallow Christianity. Men that can journey to the deep and interact with the wonders of God. Frank, look at me. In the name of Jesus, step into a higher authority. Take that impartation. I'm seeing somebody, hear me. You are a minister of the gospel. You ministered before and there was a sting in your voice. Because when you preached, men wept for their sins. There was a transformation power that was on your inside. But on the strength of compromise, you lost it. Hear this. The hand of God is coming upon ministers in particular. Because the season for raising warriors have come. And so in the name of Jesus, every minister of the gospel here that have people under them, every minister of the gospel that require a special grace to carry out this divine assignment, in the name of Jesus, the resurrected God, take that impartation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing God give someone speed in the spirit. I'm just seeing you leaping from one season to another season to another season to another season. Everyone that have been stunted, in the name of Jesus, receive the hand of God and go forward. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. Someone close to the camera stand. I'm seeing you receive a drink in the spirit. There's a wine around this middle. The middle row here. Somebody is being given a fresh wine. And this wine is to intoxicate and stir intensity in your spirit. For a new dimension, there's a leap God wants you to step into. In the name of Jesus. Don't worry, just sit down. Receive that wine. Receive that wine. Help the brother. Receive that wine. Thank you, Father. So Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. So holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels bow, the redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
There are 7 layers of intimacy. The fourth layer of intimacy is the realm of disclosures. When you don't just have the revelation of Jesus, but the portals themselves are open to you and you are invited. I'm sharing this thing so that you will know the kind of epileptic Christianity we are practicing. The same way God visits earth, the church is supposed to visit heaven regularly. Paul said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the flesh or not, I can't tell. But he was caught up to the third heavens. John said, the same voice I heard, he said, he shouted, and when I turned, I saw a door open. And he said, come up hither. It's the realm where you are beginning to receive invitations. That's where many lived and walked. How come our own Holy Spirit is just speaking tongues? The fifth realm of intimacy is the realm of the voice of God. You live where the voice dwells. That's where Adam was functioning in. The voice of God came walking. There are no assumptions about life. You know what ought to be. Every step of the way, the voice of God leads you. The sixth realm of intimacy is the realm of oneness. You become one with God. In John 17, verse 21 to 23, he said that they may be one, even as we are one. Our Christianity, unfortunately, stops at the realm of principles. That's why we are deceived. That's why we are overrun by the wicked beast that comes out of Hades. Because we're not taught that there are realms. We were not taught that there are journeys. And so we live an epileptic Christianity. Confused, not knowing what to do. Weak, not having strength to overcome. As you live here tonight, the capacity to walk with God, you will receive it from this service. You say, Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Somebody will leave this place as you go on 7 days fast. Again and again, you will leave your room and go to places in the spirit. And then you will know that Christianity is beyond rules written in a book. We pride ourselves in mental knowledge because we have not entered dimensions. The seventh realm of intimacy is the realm of representation. When you become one with God, God sends you to stand for him. Men don't need to see him anymore. When they see you, they see him. That's why Paul said, be a follower of me as I am the follower of Christ. When you see me, you have seen Jesus. So it begins with stories. It goes deep into principles. It enters the revelation of Christ. Then it enters disclosures where you are invited to participate in the realms yonder. And then you live in the realm of the voice. And then you enter the realm of oneness. When you begin the journey of the secret place, you will realize there are three layers of the secret place. The first layer of the secret place is in Psalm 91 verse 1. Where you pray and the shadow of God comes upon you. The second level of the secret place are locations in Christ Jesus. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says God has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you don't go somewhere for God to come on you. You begin to travel in Christ. Because Christ is not just a person, he's a realm. And the third level of the secret place, he said, the Holy Ghost shall be in you and with you forever. You become one with him. That's the journey of intimacy. You migrate from stories through principles. You have the revelation of Jesus. You begin to participate in the realm. And then you live in the realm of that voice perpetually. And then you become like him. And then you begin to represent him to your world. Very soon, when people ask questions, where is your God? You will tell them, forget about my God. Because I'm here, my God don't need to come. I will handle it on his behalf. You will reach those dimensions before you leave this earth. You will not go to heaven as an infant. You will reach those dimensions before you leave earth. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are an administrator, whether you are a political person, you will hit those realms before you leave this world. Bow your heads and pray. Ask the Lord to impregnate you with burdens and hunger. That you want to know him more. Paul said that I may know you. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Ask the Lord that you want more. You want more. You didn't just come to take an anointing and run away. You want him. Holy, holy, holy. Are you Lord? Holy, holy, holy. Are you Lord? Holy, holy, holy. Are you Lord? The elders and angels bow. The redeemed worship. As you leave this service, encounters will become a natural part of your daily life. You will not just live at the realm of stories where you hear men talk about God. You will begin to have personal experiences of God from tonight. Some of you, even as you sleep tonight, God will visit you in the name of Jesus. God is beyond the book. John saw him in the flesh. John knew the scriptures. But when he saw him at the Isle of Patmos, he had to introduce himself to him again. You will meet the fullness of the glory of the Lord, even in this life, in the name of Jesus. And your disadvantages, they will be swallowed up. There is a place you enter that sickness does not exist. There's a place you enter that fear does not exist. There's a place you enter that disfavor does not exist. Everything of God you need, as it begins to draw you deep, you will receive it as a byproduct. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, precious. Some of you, while the hand of God was strong upon people, you were receiving divine instructions. As you leave this service, make sure those instructions become prime in your life. Begin to deploy yourself, give yourself to them, because that is the channel and the corridor into eternity. In Jesus' name.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.